are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles, and in the studio we have James Vickery in the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue, Craig Collins running the show, Esmeralda Leon, Rob Martier taking care of all the information you need to know. And of course, tonight is the big primary in Indiana, and if you are a regular listener of Steve Cochran, you've heard Pat Brady on his show talking all things politics. Pat, what do you think tonight? How are you feeling as a conservative, as somebody who's not quite thrilled with the candidates they might have at their selection right now? How are you feeling?
Not great. I think that Donald's good for the conservative movement. He's not a fiscal conservative. He's not a national security conservative. So it's not a great night if you're a conservative Republican, but a big night for Donald Trump, and congratulations to him. But it's going to be one heck of an election.
Do you still find yourself sitting down and going, okay, let me see if I can figure this out today? Where this came from? There's a feeling of disenfranchisement amongst middle America, amongst Americans who feel like they've been left behind after the Great Recession, after this movement. Because I had thought that the conservative movement in this country had a lot of its foundation in religious conservatism. And if you look at Indiana, that's a state that has passed legislation that was based in Christian morality. And Donald Trump does not seem to be running on that sort of platform. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. He actually won evangelicals in a head-to-head matchup against a true conservative, meaning conservative on all points, including the social issues of Ted Cruz, and he trounced him. So I think this is fiscal and economic conservatives, or people are just angry that they don't have a job and think that America is not doing what it should be to help them.
Because I've been trying to have this conversation for months. Because when Donald Trump first announced his candidacy, I have said over and over again, I've won bets left and right that this was going to be the candidate for the Republican Party. It was, and I know this sounds crazy, but it was really just a sense I was getting of outrage on social media, not just in the last year, but in the last 7 years when it comes to the Obama presidency. The kind of and not always the language that Donald Trump has used, but it did seem like this is the culmination of that point of view, of that outrage, whether it's racially based or religiously based or whatever. Whatever it is, it does seem to be an anger that is there. Are you guys still kind of scratching your heads going, this is not the kind of anger we thought people had?
No, I agree completely on the anger component. I think a lot of us saw the anger in the electorate and the kind of reaction to President Obama for whatever reason.
Right.
The reality is here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Would you agree it's not? Because I think that we shy away from saying that there are people who are just angry about having a black president. Is it a small number? I hope so. But it was an element that was clear. And I think that Donald Trump appeals to that group incredibly strong. But I'm not saying it's the most compelling component is sort of like them and us. But there is, would you say that is kind of there for some people?
Oh, yeah. And listen to the language that comes out of Trump's mouth. I mean, he started off insulting veterans, even to Hispanics, to women, and every group out there. But yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
And
it's a bad night for Republican Party. I mean, this is the party of Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and this is not a good. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I can't. I've been working for Republicans since I was 8 years old, but this is a very bad night. I'm just trying to figure out how we can do what we can to preserve the gains we've made in the last 8 years, but Donald Trump is not a good nominee for this party.
Well, and how did you feel about Ted Cruz's speech tonight? I mean, how have you felt about Ted Cruz hanging in there this long and hoping, against hope that he might have a path to the delegates in Cleveland?
I mean, I think he did, what he got to do, and people are going to run their campaigns. I thought it was interesting tonight that Cruz put himself in line of Reagan, and he's the leader of the conservative movement, but the reality is he got pounded, and he got pounded in a state like Indiana that he should have done well in. So
right.
I think he tried to set himself up for the next election, but I don't think he performed well enough as a candidate. But one argument really got blown up tonight, the fact that conservatives, real social conservatives, have always thought if we had a real conservative candidate, that all these people would come out and vote and we'd win the election. Well, we had that in Ted Cruz, and we saw what happened, so that argument no longer holds any water.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of my big question, because I think for a lot of people who both who identify themselves as Republicans and, you know, people who are whether independents or Democrats, identify Republicans as being, as you said, socially conservative. Although I think that there is that element of, as often said, I'm fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That comes up for people. Would you say that that seems to be maybe what draws other people who might not otherwise be conservative to Trump?
I don't think it's either of those. I really think it's an angry middle-class white male vote, and that's who you see at the rallies for the most part, and that's who turned out, and I think that's his general election strategy, is to win that vote. It just is, and it's just not enough to win in a state where 28% of the voters now are non-white. Well, you know, when Ronald Reagan won in 1980, 12% of the voters were non-white. So it's a step backwards for the party that needed to broaden its appeal to non-whites and pick up more women. And a guy like Trump, 75% of women have an unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump. That those are numbers you just can't overcome.
And I heard those numbers are getting worse, which is bizarre. They thought that I think I heard someone last night on Justin Kaufman's show say that they thought that they'd gotten as bad as they could, and then he gave the speech about Hillary Clinton playing the woman card, and they got worse.
Yeah, they are getting worse. You know, I'm trying to be somewhat tonight gracious to him, because he did win and he's kind of the nominee. But I think the guy's a complete goof, and he's terrible for the brand. He's not a conservative, you know, but he won this thing. So I think my role as a Republican is just to try to do as much damage control as we can down ticket. You got a guy like Mark Kirk that's running here in Illinois, who is a national security hawk, a fiscal conservative, but he's a social moderate and fits the state perfectly. Probably fits the general electorate better than the hardcore conservatives. So those are the kind of people that the Republican Party needs. And we need to get back to a party that applies conservative principles to help everybody, not just be a bunch of angry people.
Well, and that was I was curious about when Mark Kirk met with the nominee that Obama has presented for the Supreme Court. He was the first Republican, is that correct, to meet with him?
Yeah, and you know, I said at the time, and Tucker and I talked about it at length, and Tucker went nuts on it. He did the absolute right thing. We elected him to do a job. It says advice and consent. You have a consent role, the Senate does, and as a U.S. senator, do your job, and that's what he did, and he led on that. And I think here in Illinois, Patty, I get a feeling that race that people thought Mark was in so much trouble, I think Senator Kirk's going to have a pretty good night in November 2016, because he's been that kind of senator, not afraid to do things that may not be popular within the far right of the Republican Party.
Well, because as much as people are angry, they also want to see government that functions. We see in Illinois, a governor who is going head-to-head with the Speaker of the House. There has been no movement as far as our budget goes. When you look at the national landscape and how many seats are up for grabs, I think that people would be wise to, you know, to go, okay, how is this going to be the best, what are they going to be the best results? If, let's say, if Trump wins, you know, is it better to have more Democrats, or do you want Republicans? And who knows who he's even going to work better with, because he's completely an outlier. There's no record to even look at as to how he would function as the executive of our country.
Listen to what he has said in the last 6 months in his campaign, and there's no way, if you're thinking about and care about this country, you can vote for this guy. He said so many things that lead me to believe there's no way he can work with anyone to get some things done. But he's pushing the buttons on trade, on jobs, on Make America Great, on build a wall that this certain group of people are voting for. But you got to remember this too, Patty. He's only won, in a country of 330 million people, he's only won 5% of the voting public so far. He'll only win 6% to get the nominee. So this is not America. This is a part of the Republican Party that, because the rules are slanted towards the front runners early on, he got that, and to his credit, he kept moving. He's going to be the nominee. But I don't think his view in any way reflects this country or the party. But right now, he's going to be the nominee.
We are talking to Pat Brady. He is a government affairs consultant, and he's the former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party and a member of the Republican National Committee. Can you hang on for another segment with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please. We're talking about the other side of the ticket, too, when we come back. We're talking the results in Indiana, and apparently Donald Trump will be the next Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States. And that's just wrap your mind around that. I know people have been trying to, but we're heading down that path. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. Joining back, by the way, James, feel free to jump in if you have any comments.
Absolutely.
As we hang out with Pat Brady, who is the former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. Hey, Pat, how can we find out more information? Is NextGenerationPublicAffairs.com the best place to find you?
NextGenerationStrategies@_Brady. That's the best way to get me.
Excellent. And before we move on to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, on the Republican side, Ted Cruz has suspended his race toward the presidency, but Governor Kasich remains. What are his plans, do you think?
I have no idea. And I am a elected Kasich delegate here in Illinois, a supporter and a fan, so I don't know exactly what is going on. There's just 5 or 6 states left, so I don't really know what he's going to do. Just hang in and be the last guy standing.
I mean, is there any shot now at a brokered convention, or would that be something that would really cause an uprising with Republican voters?
I thought till tonight there would be a brokered convention, but I think tonight, with the results tonight, that there's no chance. If you just look at the numbers and how it shakes out in the next states, Trump only needs to get 41 or 42% of the rest of the delegates. And he's there, and I don't think he'll have any problem doing that.
And has the RNC come out tonight? I think I saw that they're now putting their support behind Donald Trump. Is that accurate?
I think Ryan Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, who's just from up the road in Kenosha, put out a statement tonight saying, he's the presumptive nominee. We need to unite as a party. So what happens is, once you have a presumptive nominee, even before they get the nomination, the RNC, the National Committee apparatus, the databases, the fundraising, all that gets turned over to the candidate, and the candidate basically runs the RNC. So I think Ryan signaled with that tweet that that's what they're ready to do.
And I think I saw someone write, they were tweeting out hashtag never Clinton. So is that part of the circling of the wagons is, look, if this is going to be our candidate, we have to do everything to stop Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and that's Reince's role, whether he likes Trump or not. That's his role as chairman of the Republican Party. Their job is to try to get the nominee elected. So, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And when you saw the results in Indiana, Bernie Sanders has won Indiana. I haven't been following any of the polling numbers. Was that a surprise?
Indiana is unique. They have some unique laws that make polling more difficult, so no one really knew. I was surprised that he beat Secretary Clinton in Indiana. But it's of no consequence insofar as who the nominee is going to be. It's going to be Hillary Clinton. It just gives Bernie Sanders another reason to stay in the race, and he'll probably have an even bigger voice at the convention. But no impact on the race itself.
Do you think he's going to get more pressure now that Trump has? It seems that he has it wrapped up so they can get behind Hillary a little more to make sure they beat Trump.
Yeah, you'd think, but tonight, if you look at it, Donald Trump had a big night, won big in Indiana, and basically secured the nomination. On the other hand, you had Hillary Clinton, who lost to Bernie Sanders, so at least the picture was bad. But to answer your question, I don't think it might increase the pressure by the establishment people to get her out, but Bernie raises a ton of money, and he's got a message that a lot of people like, so I think he'll stay in it till the end.
Well, I know that you're disappointed with the result. I mean, who your candidate is going to be for the President of the United States on the Republican side. Has it forwarded the conversation, the ideals of conservatism at all to have gone this far in the primaries? Because that seems to be, I think, for Democrats, they're having the conversation. They're forcing Hillary to continue to reveal what her plans are, what her philosophy is, what her experience is, by having Bernie Sanders as a challenger. Do you feel the same way on the Republican side?
No, not at all, because Trump's not a conservative. One thing, and I know this is getting a little into the weeds, but when you go to a convention, you have a platform committee, and the committee puts together the platform for the party, and that's what the candidate is supposed to run on. But Donald Trump doesn't fit any of the components of the platform. He's not a free trader. He's not a fiscal conservative. He's not a national security hawk. In fact, he's to the left, way to the left of Hillary Clinton. On national security. So no, it's not been good for the Republican Party, because we're the conservative party in this country, and he's not a conservative. I know conservative is a bad word to a lot of people, but the reality is that's what the Republican Party is, and there are ways you can articulate the principles of the party like Paul Ryan does and win elections, but Donald Trump's not one of them.
Well, as a consultant now, and as a lifelong Republican, I'm assuming that. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I guess as a little kid. Betty, my dad used to say he was proud he voted for Barry Goldwater, but he was the only one that would admit it.
That's conservative.
Well, seeing what you've seen this year and having lived your entire life, you know, having this idea of what your party stands for, what would you tell the next candidate? I mean, regardless of how this turns out, how do you appeal to the people who've been angry this year, who have found Donald Trump to be their answer to their problems right now?
You need to paint a better picture to people of why the conservative view on how to run the government, which is what we're talking about, is better for America in general, how it will create jobs, it'll create growth, how free trade is actually good. Yeah, there's some pain and change in a global economy, yeah, but we have to adapt. But, you know, the thing that I'm really most concerned about, and this is where Hillary Clinton, I think, has got to make some big gains early against Trump, is his views on national security and foreign policy. They're childlike. And yeah. I think a lot of big Republican names are going to be standing behind Hillary Clinton. Because love or hate Hillary as a Secretary Clinton, as a Republican, she will be more conservative on national security and foreign policy than Donald Trump by a long shot. And that's where a lot of people are going to go.
Well, we want the big boys and girls to be making a lot of these decisions. Pat, can we talk to you next week? Let's check in with you again as we get closer and closer to these conventions.
Hey, Patty, anytime, buddy. Hope all's well with you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Pat Brady. And we look forward to having him back again. Again, you're where people can find you?
Next Generation Strategies, Pat_Brady. Thanks.
Excellent. We'll talk to you next week. More after this on 720. Talk to you later. More after this on 720 WGN.